thoughts and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to Man Up with Ted Leidy, Carl Mott, and Perry Crimmins.
Bam.
Can you call me the Ted?
I can talk the man, the myth, the and soon to be the movie.
The legend and the song, you forget
that. That's right.
Twisted
Steel and Sex Appeal. Got it.
That's right. Hey. If you saw my hat, you'd know what I'm talking about.
I saw your hat.
I love that hat.
It looks like you probably have monkey pox.
I got it for $5 at the rodeo.
They have one,
I bought
one
drunk
case,
cowboy.
One case of monkey pox in Shasta County, and when I saw that hat, I know who it is, so no hugging tonight.
Oh, I already hugged Perry. I'm sorry, Perry. Okay. Tell me you start feeling bad.
Let's start off hot. Let's run in hot today. We have on the line one of the best distilleries in the world is with us tonight.
I am so excited about this.
Iron Root. And on the line is, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Robert, Licorice. Licorice?
You got it.
Hey. All right.
Wait a minute. Licorice?
Yes, sir.
Is that your stage name, or is that your last name? What's going on here?
No, it's the family name. It's Croatian.
Nice.
That is fantastic.
Wait a minute. Wait. It's what? It's Croatian?
Yeah.
My wife's Croatian. Really? How interesting. Now, tell us about Iron Root Distillery. I mean, your story is great.
Well, geez, it feels like it's been forever, but we actually started back in 2014. We're a small family distillery. It's myself, my brother, who's the head distiller, and big know-it-all of the distillery. We have my mother, Marcia, who's the distillery manager.
Yeah, I saw that.
She's the real boss. And then we've got just a cousin, Alex, that we got him to give up a 401k and a good job to come do something crazy.
This stuff's overrated. This stuff's overrated.
Well, 401s. Yeah, 401s and real jobs. No. There's nobody here sitting in the studio that has a real job.
No.
So.
No.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, so go on. So, I mean, you're a lawyer. I mean, you went through law school. And
Went through law school, getting ready to graduate in May of 2011.
Yeah.
And I decided that fall that the job market wasn't looking that great in St. Louis, where I was graduating from. And we had as a family jokes that when my brother and I retired, we were going to start a distillery because we had visited a small distillery up in Spokane, Washington, called Dryfly, at a family reunion, and just kind of had fallen in love with the idea. My family's been in the mining industry for generations now, and so we'd like to joke, we have copper in our blood. And so we're like, all right, that's what we're going to do when we retire. We're going to start a small family distillery and have fun. And I was getting ready to graduate, and so I decided, well, I'm young, I'm dumb right now, I can eat ramen noodles every night if I need to. Before I have kids, why don't we try and do something a little bit crazy? And so at Christmas dinner, I decided to announce to my mom and brother and father that's what I was going to do when I graduated. And next thing I know, my brother was like, nope, I'm not working my job while you're doing that, so I'm going to come with you and do that. So I dragged the entire family down a kind of a dangerous rabbit hole of distilling. So it's been a fun ride. We ended up, once I graduated, just kind of traveling around the country and interning at distilleries, and finally kind of fell in with some really wonderful people. It's actually out there in California. There's a distillery that was run by Hubert Germain Raban. He's a 10th generation cognac distiller that moved out there in the 80s and set up shop. And him and his apprentice, Nancy Fraley, kind of took us under their wing a little bit and taught us all the different tradition, like French traditional distilling techniques. And we did that for a little while and then decided to kind of break out on our own and headed back to Texas, where we had lived most of our lives, and decided to go settle in this little tiny town called Denison, Texas, which is sister cities of cognac.
Now the name Iron Root is, I mean, there's some history behind that.
Oh yeah, it was at our town. It's kind of a crazy little known history that there's a guy who lived there in the late 1800s named T.V. Munson. He was a viticulturist, so he was studying, trying to figure out how at the time to grow the European grapes in the United States, because our native grapes don't make really great tasting wine, and the European grapes, when they kept planting them, they tended to die off after a handful of years because we have all these plant diseases and bugs here in the U.S. That they didn't have any resistance to. Specifically, there's this little kind of aphid called phylloxera that is absolutely vicious to grapes. And T.V. Munson discovered a way to graft the European grapes on top of American rootstock that already has all those resistances, and was able to kind of be able to start helping that kind of a viticulture here in the U.S. get the wine movement really going in the United States. But around that same time he was doing all his research, we accidentally transferred phylloxera from the U.S. over to Europe, and it went to town when it got to France. It was the fourth blight to hit France and ended up wiping out close to 80% of the French grapes. Bordeaux, Burgundy, Cognac were all decimated. And so they freaked out, started scouring the planet trying to find a solution, and through the Smithsonian, found this crazy dude in Denison, Texas, and next thing you know, he's shipping them grape roots. And to this day, they grow their grapes on top of the descendants of American grape roots.
All the French with their vein is still good. They're growing it off of Texas roots. That's the name Iron Roots.
There we go.
See, I can tie all of this together if
yes,
you give
you
me a
can.
Chance.
Nice
all
work,
right.
Carl.
Now, you sent us, and God bless you for that, you sent us two bottles. And one is your Iron Root Harbinger. And it's got on here World Whiskies Award, one of the 20 world's best bourbons. Is that right?
That is right. In 2020, right a month before all the shutdowns, our 115 proof bourbon was named best bourbon in the world by Whiskey Magazine.
That is nuts. I really, really thank you for sending us this bourbon. It's very good. We're already drinking it, by the way. We've been putting it down for a little while.
Yeah, just a little. Yeah.
Very good.
We like to start hot in our...
We roll in hot when we
start this show. Okay, so, tell me a little bit, and hop in here, guys, but tell me a little bit, how do you get, is it a blind taste test, or how did they do that?
So they actually have a set of three different tastings that they do that they slowly kind of whittle things down over the course of months. So generally we send stuff in every year. You send stuff in like September.
Yeah.
And then over the next 4 months they have three different tastings where they take all the different categories and they slowly kind of choose winners out of each of the categories. And it's tasters from master distillers from all different backgrounds to writers to in people that are just involved in the industry at all levels, from store owners and everything like that, that they bring in to actually do these tastings and taste all these whiskeys blind against each other. So I think that the final tasting comes down to the best Kentucky versus the best non-Kentucky. And that's that those two will go head-to-head and they'll choose a winner.
Okay.
Did you beat out the Kentucky bourbon?
We did. We beat it. Fearless's cash strength was up that year for it.
That is fantastic.
And,
was this a game changer? I mean, this had to be a game changer.
It was. It blown me away. I mean, you've heard of the Judgment of Paris. It was kind of like that on a little bit smaller scale for us. We were the first non-Kentucky distillery that made spirit from scratch to actually win. So it was a giant. And then also we make a very different style of bourbon even than what they do up in Kentucky. And so it was kind of a big win for some of these newer, unique styles of bourbon.
Well, you just started distilling really in 2014.
Yeah, you're right.
That is nuts.
Texas weather does some really crazy things to the aging process when it comes to bourbon. So our whiskey at the time, the one, was a blend of 2.5-year-old and 4.5-year-old bourbon.
Wow. You don't even have old stuff.
stuff. Now, we do have some. I think the oldest barrels we have at the warehouse that are still aging are 8 years old now. They turned 8 literally last week.
Well, yeah, 2014. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is our oldest bourbon. It's 8 years old.
Yeah.
This is great stuff.
It tastes great. Yeah. Number one in the world. Man, we should churn this out about once every 4 or 5 years. We'll be killing it. I like it.
Where are you marketing in this now? I mean, because you're obviously a small distillery, so it's kind of like a boutique? I hate using that, but small batch.
Definitely a small batch. I think in 2020 when we won, we were making about 200 to 250 barrels of whiskey a year, which is, in the scheme of things, absolutely nothing.
Like, right.
Very, very.
Right.
We have managed to grow over the last few years, but we're available in about 30 states. Obviously, Harbinger's a little bit tougher to get a hold of, but we release it 3 times a year. Usually, the best places to find it across the country are going to be like Total Wine. They tend to get quite a bit of it when we send it out. So it does a little bit of it trickles over into California.
We probably have the only bottle of Iron Root Harbinger. Could that be in California?
Probably at the moment. I was out in California about a month ago with the Saints Alley line doing some promotion stuff, and it was not on any shelf that I saw. So you may have the only one that still has whiskey.
Okay, now. Okay, guys, stay away from this now. You know, we'll drink something else.
So here's a question.
This goes back into my bar.
Yeah, here's a question for you, Robert. So 8 years, and you guys have the number one whiskey. Actually, after 6 years, that's kind of like a baby in the bourbon industry. So how was the reaction of the rest of the bourbon world when that happened?
It was a little bit of chaos. Mm-hmm. I can't possibly say that. People calling us up wondering what the heck we're doing, how we're doing it. And, I mean, that next month was pretty insane. Between that and then Forbes did an article, and the phone at the distillery was just ringing off the hook. My poor mother.
You have to get her some help there.
They wanted the family recipe.
Now that you got number one bourbon in the world, you got to get an employee.
You know what? And she gives them allowances still.
I love
you
that. Know, good.
It says it. Well, maybe she doesn't say it exactly like that. But you know what? Your brother, after this, he's got this look of superiority. Jonathan has this kind of like, yeah, bite me. You know?
I like that.
You like it?
Good, yeah.
And Robert, who is his official title is General Gladhander, so, you know.
Hey, you know what?
I'm the nice one. You're right on that.
Okay, now, we've already skipped our break, so we're going to keep going.
Yeah, let's just skip the break.
Liam, just let that one go. Just
write an important
down.
Phone
give
call.
Give them the traffic tomorrow. The next one you sent us was something called Saints Alley, mm-hmm. a blend of straight bourbon whiskey finished in Armagnac cask. What is that?
Armagnac.
Yeah. Armagnac. Okay. Hey, this is Northern California.
Yeah, we're very rural here.
We're very.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, we still ride horses to work. All right.
Hey, I support that.
We're so rural, we have radio shows about bourbon while we're drinking it. That doesn't happen everywhere. I'll tell you that.
Not too many places. In our studios, right on the street, people walking by, waving at us.
Oh yeah.
Oh look, the boys are drinking again.
It's like Good Morning America, but different.
Okay, so
way different.
So tell us about Saints Alley.
So Saints Alley was through this kind of relationship that we have with Cognac, every couple of years, the mayor and a lot of the master distillers from Cognac come over to Denison, Texas, to come literally kind of hang out with us, which is, you know, when I hear and thought about Cognac initially, I thought it'd be like a big city, but Cognac's a town of like 26,000 people. It's actually just slightly larger than Denison. So they come, they hang out with us, and we've really developed these really wonderful relationships. And so over the years, we've gotten a chance to go over there and distill over there, which working with their farmers has been an absolutely phenomenal experience. But we had one of our really good friends, Chris Trevino, who on YouTube, he's a liquor hound. He does a lot of spirit reviews. But he's been collecting spirits for since 1994, I believe. Wow. He's one of those guys that just got this giant collection of like 3,000 open bottles of whiskeys from 1919 all the way up to, you know, all this crazy, wonderful spirit knowledge. And so he came with us the last time we were out there, and he was lamenting that the American whiskey didn't have some of the things like they have down in the Caribbean with some of the rum production, where which is a blend of this, you know, call them still spirit, which is what they do primarily in Kentucky, this beautiful, clean whiskey, with these funky pot still spirits like what we do. And so we were like, well, I mean, we have the funky whiskey on site. I mean, we've got friends that make the clean stuff. Why couldn't we do it? And so next thing I know, we were blending and having fun, and we're getting whiskey from some of our friends up in the Midwest, and shipped it in, started blending it with some of our whiskey, and then we started putting it in some of our favorite barrels. Like Armagnac is a type of French brandy. We have some that's in cognac casks, some that's in port casks, some that's in rum casks, all sorts of fun stuff that we're aging this whiskey in. And then we started releasing it for fun, and so it's really taken off.
Wow. Okay, you know what? I'm just tasting that now because the boys are, you know, Perry just jumped in, and Ted is still sipping the Harbinger.
I'm moderating myself.
I like this too. This is very smooth.
Very different, though.
Oh, it is different. Your Iron Root, the Harbinger, is a, I mean, it gets your attention.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I mean, it does. And it's not, you know what? If you're a puss, don't drink that.
No.
I mean, you need to get that little taste when you're, you know, when you're doing a shot or a sip of good bourbon. You want to taste it.
That's what I'm talking about.
And the other one, though, is very smooth. So your St. Sally. It's really good. Wow.
All right. They're kind of on different ends of the spectrum. It's
yeah.
A little bit, you said softer, a little bit more traditional, and then you've got the more in-your-face Texas bourbon.
Texas bourbon. There can't be anything wrong with that. Texas bourbon. You're going to have to come out and sponsor our rodeo, and we'll just serve Iron Root Harbinger from Texas.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think he'll get enough Iron Root Harbinger from Texas to.
That's right.
I think that'll last about 5 minutes with all the how much they make.
That won't make it to the Saddle Bronc, right?
Actually, that wouldn't make it to the opening ceremony.
Well, it would make it through because it is a big flag ceremony coming in.
Well, that is true.
Robert, we sure appreciate you taking time to talk with us here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, and thank you very much for the tasters.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Very
and,
good.
Now, the way we found out Iron Root is Pat Karch went down, and he's got relatives in Texas, and they decided to take a tour, and they had a wonderful time. And
really?
He wrote an email to him and said, would you like to be on the show? And Robert mistakenly said yes, and not knowing what he was getting into. But so that's how we found them. But I can tell you what, I love it when a family decides to do something. And, you know, to do something just totally outside their comfort zone, and then you make a success of it.
It makes me want to become a fan. I mean, a big-time fan. In this interview, he actually said, my mom got tired of answering the phone.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
How do people order this?
I mean, that is really something.
Here's the big thing. How do people get bottles of this
yep.
if it's not sold in the stores?
So the best way for you guys out in California is going to be through Total Wine.
Okay.
Or you can order on our website at the distillery. Unfortunately, the state of Texas has deemed it too dangerous for me to be able to ship it to you directly. So if you do order out in California, we have to find other methods for you to get the bottle shipped to you that we can't do it directly.
But you get it shipped to other states, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the closest one to California?
Nevada.
Right now.
Is it Nevada?
Nevada is the closest one.
Oh, that's just a hop, skip, and a jump for us.
Or probably Oregon even lets you ship it in there.
Yeah. California or Texas won't let you ship it. Huh?
It's not Texas.
No, it's California. Oh, it's California. Oh, of course.
No, it's Texas.
Oh, it's Texas.
Yeah.
No, Texas?
Would let us do it. It's,
hell, they send us ammo.
Yeah. No, we can send guns and ammo, but... You know, liquor's a little bit too dangerous in there.
Okay.
Texas will let you send it to Nevada, but not California.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Robert, what do you want our listeners to remember here?
For me, it's if you're trying whiskey, try new ones. Try some of those stuff that's being made locally. There's some really amazing products being made out there. When you travel, definitely go visit local distilleries. There's flavors that you get in smaller distilleries that you can't get from the big guys. So it's just a very different process. And so go out there, explore. There's a ton of different flavors, a lot of awesome stuff to drink. And if you ever, if you're at Total Wine, look at our stuff, both St. Sally and Iron Root. Or if you're ever in the Dallas area, definitely come up and visit us. I'll show you around, or Mom will show you around, and who knows, we might taste some stuff straight from the barrel.
I think that would be fantastic.
Let's go find that 8-year-old barrel.
Yep. Hey, Robert, one more question. Since, you know, you're here and you're our guest of honor tonight, we're drinking this fantastic bourbon. So Carl said he's just taking this thing home and putting it in his bar. Of course, Perry and I are sitting here, you know, we're thinking, well, we got to have something more fair than that. So, I mean, you're from Texas. Everyone's tough in Texas and all that. How do you guys settle disputes down there? I mean, should we wrestle for it? What should we do here to take this bottle home? Do we do a Rochambeau for it? What do we do? Play a poker hand? What?
No, we're all armed.
Don't say that, man. We're already fighting. We're already fighting the anti-gutters.
Yeah.
Sheriff, be out here.
I want you to know,
don't do it, Carl.
I know that you graduated from St. Louis University Law School, which is a great law school, and so you're not practicing law. My nephew, who went through law school, in his third year, said, you know, I'm not sure I want to do this. And he is now a captain in the fire department in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So
there it comes. If they ever have issues, they'll know how to deal with them. That's the beautiful part of the law school, is that they do teach you how to do all that. But, you know, at some level, I think we may have too many lawyers out there. So I think a few of us peeling off and doing some other things is not a bad thing.
Well, look, if y'all ever get to Northern California, you know the radio station, you got my email and phone number and all that, make sure you stop by.
You notice how he changed the subject on a Rochambeau / wrestling match for that bottle? And did you notice that? I saw that, Carl.
You noticed as he was pounding the cork down.
That's not a big deal.
That's it.
Yeah. Robert, one more thing. No matter how opposed you are to it, make sure you get online and apply for your $10,000 loan forgiveness on that law school. I forgive you for applying for that with this good bourbon. You've used your education well. I'll pay that $10,000, brother.
Yeah, in fact, all of our taxes are going for your loan forgiveness.
I love
it.
Go get your $10K. I'll say that's the only $10K I feel good about, just bourbon right there. Go get it.
I have a feeling, Robert, that you're you're responsible and you probably already paid your debt.
Or Marcia, Mom did. So we're not sure. Anyway, Robert.
That's part of the allowance.
Iron Root Bourbon, Iron Root Distilleries in Denison, Texas. If you're down there, go through it. And if you want to buy it, look for Total Wine.
Go to Total Wine and Shop.
In Shop.
Right on. Total Wine. I'm in.
And send it to your friend in Reno.
Oh, people are calling already. Thank you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Robert, appreciate you, brother. Keep up the good work, man.
Thanks. You guys have a great night.
All right.
Oh, it's getting better every minute.
Smooth
and
right out.
Yep.
Okay.
Feeling right.
Now we will take a break because we have to rinse out the glasses.
Yes.
And
good call.
That's it. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Perry Crimmins and... Ted Leidy and whoever I am.
The Colonel. The Colonel and the Ted.
We'll be back in a couple minutes. Just take those old records on the shelf. I didn't listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time of rock and roll. Don't try to take me. Premier, your friendly old change. Premier and all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
We are in the middle of fire season in California, and we've already seen major fires break out here in the North State. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. In Siskiyou County, the tragic McKinney Fire has caused at least 4 deaths and consumed over 60,000 acres. And some of the most dangerous months are still ahead of us. I'm working to improve federal forest management by getting more aggressive in thinning and clearing near power lines to reduce fire risks. We have delivered billions in aid for local disaster recovery and are fighting to stop FEMA from seizing money from fire victims who have received compensation from PG&E. I've also written a bipartisan bill to stop the IRS from taxing people's fire settlement dollars. In July, I offered amendments to federal legislation that would increase funding for water storage and fire protection. My office is here to serve you. Go to lamalfa.house.gov or give us a call. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Paid for with official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Unica Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos, providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience. It's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Unica Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Welcome back to Man Up with Perry Quinns and Ted Lighty and Carl Bott. We are on at the fourth Thursday of each month, and if you missed the first half hour, we had Iron Root Distilleries on. Now, this was a distillery started by a family in 2000, and I think it was 18 or 14, and won World's Best Bourbon, one of the world's 20 best bourbons, over a four-month taste test. And they distill it right there in Denison, Texas, a town of about 20,000 people. And it is excellent bourbon. And then they have a blended bourbon called St. Sally. So, Mike Huber is on the line. Good morning, or good afternoon, Mike.
Mike, the man, the myth, the legend, and the song, Huber. Where are you racing today, Mike?
Today I'm at Thunder Hill.
Oh,
beautiful,
yeah.
Sunset. The breeze is blowing about 98 degrees. And we're on our last session, and the adrenaline dance with ginger continues. So it's a fun day down here. So, and I know this is the bottom half of the hour, so you got to be like what, 2 shots in. So God bless you guys.
Oh yeah,
no, we're working. So
we're working.
We're working. Not true. We're working. We're working. We're working here, Huber. Come on, we're professionals. Don't try this at home.
That's right.
Well, I just wanted to encourage you guys, you know, hey, get out and do stuff, you know. And,
well, what's Thunder Hill, first of all? What is Thunder Hill?
Get out and do stuff. what are you saying, Huber? What the hell are you saying to me?
Hey, we're not going to
come. We're not doing enough.
Yeah, we're not coming racing with you.
We're not coming racing, yeah. That's not happening.
Come on. Well, you can passenger with me.
The only thing I know is Huber went out to dinner with Linda and I the other night. He's in a rented vehicle because his all the rest of the vehicles he has are in the shop. Okay?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Have you got them out?
Hey, today's a successful day. A lot of testing to happen today. And this is a beautiful day to get out and enjoy the North State. So.
Well, what do you do at, what do you do at Thunder Hill? Or what?
So tonight is Track Night in America. So I actually I help out with the grid and let the cars go out. So you can bring any car down here and get on the course for $150.
My F-150? What?
Nope, that doesn't qualify.
Oh, you said any car.
Teslas here. Well, you can't have a truck, unless it's a lower truck. But
how about a Nissan Murano?
No.
Hey, well, see, Mike, are those Teslas? Are those Teslas really fast?
Oh, dude, they're extremely fast. They're shockingly fast.
It's nuts.
And I bet they're heavy. Low center of gravity, huh?
Low center of gravity. They can come in the corner and just sail right through it. A good driver can.
Wow.
But there's like a brand new Corvette going by, a couple of BMWs. You know, people just down here enjoying, because it's a cheap way to get on the track and experience the 2 mile side of Thunder Hill, because there's a 3 mile side that everyone does too. But this is just the 2 mile course that we get out there. So it's very safe, very, you know, regimented. Everyone's here, you know, protecting flagmen. So it's like a normal thing. We're not, you're not really racing cars as much as you're just getting track time and experiencing for people.
Yeah, so you're in reality, there's nobody else on the track while you're on it, right?
Oh no, there's currently there's 20 cars in the track.
Oh,
it's a big
so,
track, Carl. It's a 2 mile track, so
okay. So really, do they all start at the same time?
We let them go out, you know, in random, so that. But there are sections that you can pass, but it's very, you know, you can pass in this section only, the front stretch. You know, so the high horsepower cars can get around little cars sometimes.
Okay.
Now, Thunder Hill, do they at Thunder Hill? Do they have like, you know, races where they all start together, like we're thinking at Shasta Speedway and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, but this is all road racing, so there's a lot of elevation changes on this course.
Okay.
There's a lot of blind hills, like you're going 100 miles up, and you're just hoping no one's on the tire.
Wow,
you got to get over it.
So can you rub other cars?
No. That's highly disadvantageous.
Oh, well, if you're not rubbing, you're not racing, Mike.
Well, but that's racing like you.
What the heck? Hey, what's that dude's name in that NASCAR movie that Will Ferrell was in? What's his name?
Cole Trickle.
No, not is that him? No, that's not. Is it Cole Trickle?
It's Billy Bob something.
Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
No. Talladega Nights? That movie with Will Ferrell?
Well, that was with Will Ferrell, yeah.
That was a fantastic movie. What was his name?
Bobby Joe Billy or something like that. Billy Joe Bobby.
Because you really just reminded me of him right now, Carl, when you said, if you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing.
Well,
was that from that movie?
I've raced.
Was that from that movie?
I have been in a real stock car race, not what you're doing, Mike.
What?
I know.
You were in a real stock car race?
Vinda still doesn't talk to me about it. I mentioned it.
Did you drive it?
Yeah.
Oh, down to Shasta Speedway, huh?
Sure did.
You are my new hero.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was.
Were you rubbing?
We were rubbing.
Oh my!
You were banging.
You were rubbing.
Rubbing is for sissies.
Did you build that? Did you build that car?
Oh no! We had friends that built it.
And oh, that's fantastic.
Linda and I rode together in this race, and for a long time.
She said it was the most terrifying thing she's ever did.
No way!
Oh no! She still has PTSD.
Do we have a video of that? Because did you video anything?
They got us. They got us on a one of those speed guns doing 70 miles an hour down the straightaway, three abreast. And we were banging all the way down. So
hey, and you were driving.
I was driving.
Oh,
I just got back from
Iraq. I am so surprised she did not have a phone out and was videoing this thing. I would do anything to see that. You could have a party.
She was
at
unconscious
your house.
For part of it. So
she was what?
I said no. She was awake the whole. What she was doing? She was telling me, coming up on your right, coming up on your right. Oh, they're up on your left.
Go faster, Carl.
Cut him off.
Go faster.
Cut him off.
Life in the fast lane. Get by him.
Anyway.
That's nuts. Hey, I would do anything. I would come over, drink this Iron Root bourbon with you, and watch that as a movie at your house.
I wish we had one, because I tell you what. Guys,
someone's got to have a copy.
I'm telling you what. When the hood comes flying off a car.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It comes up, and it bends it back over the car, and the guy driving it can't see, so he's got his head outside the window. Well, you can't even do that because they've got nets there to keep you from falling out when you turn over.
Isn't it getting ready to be in racing season at Shasta Speedway? Do they still have a league?
I don't know. We need to find
they
out.
They don't. They have some stuff that comes through, but the track's pretty. You know, it needs some help. for sure.
Yeah.
What's
but we utilize it for autocross. So
they used to have them. They used to have. In fact, we broadcast.
I went
a couple
every
races.
Saturday.
Yeah. Years ago, we used to broadcast.
Yeah. My ex-wife, Kelly Peacock, was a track champion down there. Open wheel track champion, modified. It was fantastic. I loved it. Hey, honestly, I hate to say this, but that's where I taught my kids to gamble.
To gamble. Betting on races.
I'd give them each $5 if they pick the card. We each had to give them a dollar. Is that wrong?
No, it's never wrong. No,
I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to get arrested, but
if I had to give you one little bit of advice to keep all your wheels, I mean your truck, your vet, everything on the road, horsepower is a great thing. It's just not designed to be all used at once for long period of times.
Great advice.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. And don't eat the yellow snow.
In other words, lift.
Don't eat the yellow snow. I heard you blew up your truck. Who was telling me that the other day?
I did not. Hey. I had a notorious obviously happen.
Who was telling me you blew up your truck?
You blew up the vet, though.
No, I didn't.
Well, when parts fall off your head of the engine, what do you call that?
Everything fixable.
Oh, okay. Got it. Hey, Mike, true story.
The dog's in there going, slow down, slow down.
Who was it that told me you blew up that white truck? Someone told me you blew it up.
Well,
not true.
My white truck's in the shop. Yeah, it's the motor's at being rebuilt.
you can blow it up. So something else happened to it.
If that's not blowing it up, what is
something else
it
happened
up?
To it?
Something else.
Because I didn't technically blow it up. I lost the lifter and took out the cam and this was a problem.
That's right. To the layman, that's blowing it up.
It's blowing it up.
To us. To you, probably not. Yeah. But to us.
It's just a lifter. It's just a lifter that threw everything into the inner working parts of the rest of the engine.
Yeah, 210, 220, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
It's all just,
there's blowing it up and then there's grenading it, right?
Yeah.
Grenading it, that's different.
Okay, buddy. Be careful down there.
Have a great evening.
I love you, Huber, man. Be careful.
Have a stop for me.
You bet.
Be careful, man.
Take care.
Take care, brother. I'll see you when you get back.
Okay. We went down and had dinner at that new place, Norm's, in Palo Cedro.
Norm's?
I think it's called
Norm's. I've been wanting to go there.
The food's really
good. I
drive
by it every day.
Yeah, the food's really good. And there are a lot of people down there. I mean, this is like a Thursday, and you get there around 5:30. And they've got a full selection. They've got a real good menu, and the food's really good. So...
at Norm's.
Yeah, Norm's.
We're gonna check that out.
Yeah.
Okay. Only open for dinner?
I'm sorry.
Are they only open for dinner?
No, I think they're open for lunch sometimes.
Where's it at?
They have a Sunday brunch, right?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that. It's down in
right next to Holiday Market.
Okay. Right there. If you're looking at Holiday Market, look to your left.
What did you have?
I had, believe it or not, I had a pork schnitzel, and it came with kale, and usually I don't like, kale, but it was really good.
Kale's so hard.
And it's on Yukon potatoes, and you put it on it, and it had a sauce on it, and it was just really
I love me some schnitzel.
I just like that word, schnitzel.
Yeah, that's a great word. Man, let me tell you, it's huge in Germany.
Hey, what are you doing tonight?
You better know that. That'd be like for your first five words you learn in Germany, and schnitzel better be one of them.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to schnitzel tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to take a break. We're going to be right back after these messages. Perry Crummins, Carl Bott, Ted Leidy, Man Up.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474. Don't miss the Intermountain Fair, September 1st through the 5th at the fairgrounds on A Street in MacArthur. It's Carnival Lights and Country Nights, featuring exhibits, booths, live music, food, and fun for the whole family. Exhibits open at 10 a.m. with a carnival opening at noon. Daily admission is $6 and pre-sale wristbands are $15. Kids 5 and under get in free. On opening day, Thursday, September 1st, admission is free. Friday the 2nd is Senior Day, where seniors 60 and older get in free, and you can enjoy the enduro racing starting at 7. On Saturday the 3rd, enjoy livestock shows and live music. Saturday night is the main event, featuring recording artist Cameron Marlowe live in concert at the Bob Thompson Arena. Sunday, September 4th is Kids Day. Children 12 and under get in free, and there will be a parade and live music along with the Destruction Derby starting at 7. On Labor Day, Monday, September 5th, admission is free, and will feature the Junior Livestock Buyer's Breakfast starting at 7 a.m., followed by the Junior Livestock Auction. The fair closes at 3. It's the Intermountain Fair, September 1st through the 5th on A Street in MacArthur.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. During the Big Cottonwood Cruise on Friday, September 9th, enjoy a barbecue fundraiser for the museum. It's 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Old Cottonwood Firehouse on Brush Street. Then enjoy the car show on Saturday the 10th. And come to the pancake breakfast at 6 a.m., followed by the barbecue right up to 8 p.m. Support the Cottonwood community and the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And thanks for your support.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
I love it.
To Man Up with Carl Bott, Ted Lighty, and Perry Crimmins. There's a tree down on the sidewalk right here.
Yeah, right around the sidewalk by Kobe. Is that Shasta Street right there?
Yeah. On Shasta.
Half a block from Kobe.
Huh.
Blocking the sidewalk, blocking the parking lot.
I wonder how long they're going to work on Placer Street. Just when you think that they're finished so you can actually go up and make a turn into your street, because they've been, you know, working on it, and then they block it off again. And I know they're putting in new sewer and water lines or something like that, but I thought after you dug up the street three or four times that you would get it finished and you wouldn't have to continue doing it in the same spot.
Well, here's the thing that really bothers me is they detour them down Gold Street, and they come down that hill from Benton Air Park.
Oh, yeah.
They're on fire.
You know
they're,
what you
they're
ought to
mad
do?
Or whatever.
You know what you ought to do?
And you've got speed bumps on that street.
You ought to get out there. You ought to get out there with a blow dryer and your phone up in your ear and act like you're doing radar on them and call the police. You know,
I'll turn those cars into sleds.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they hit the brakes so hard, the wheels will fall off. Okay, we're starting to get candidates for office.
Oh, I love them.
We've had Joshua Johnson and Alex Shea, and we're lining up everybody else. I mean, there are a lot of elections going
to
happen.
Hey, I'm here to tell you right now, after what happened with the city of Reading and, you know, the news. You told me about it months ago, Carl, and I heard and I knew about it. I just didn't say anything. Good for them. Good for them. It's time for a change.
Yeah,
and I have the Keystone's the only one that's staying, right?
Well, he's running for re-election.
I hope he gets re-elected.
Well, he seems to be the one that's as transparent as we've ever seen.
The voice of reason for sure.
Not that I don't like any of the others, because I do.
Yeah,
trust me, there are some that I think are really good. But I like the Keystone. Every time I've talked with or seen him on TV, I think what he says rings true to me. really.
Well, we don't endorse here. And
oh, no, I'm
really,
sorry. But,
well, no, you can. I mean, it's fine. But here's the thing is that you need to listen to every one of these. I mean, we've had that young man on today, Alex Shea, is very sharp. Joshua Johnson, sharp. And we're getting ready to have, like I said, as many on the show, Kimberly Vollmers and, you know, all of them. Plus, we've got to get in Chris Kellstrom and Baron Browning and Aaron Reznor and Kevin Cry. And then now there's a lot of people running for school boards. And they're challenging, they're challenging the status quo on the school boards.
Good for them.
So we'll have a few of them. You know, I'd like to get some incumbents and some new ones and see. I don't know if there's a problem because Judy Flores, who is head of the Shasta County Office of Education, will tell you right up front, she has no control over what's being taught in each of the school districts. It's the school boards. Yeah.
So the local boards.
The local school boards are the ones that say, this is what we're teaching, these are the books.
Here's something, and really it speaks to a lot of different problems, but this is just like a microcosm of issues. You don't know, Carl, or Perry, well, maybe you do, Perry, because your wife's a teacher, what is a good school board and what's not. Nobody knows. The stuff happens in secret, and those parents, they suffer, right? They suffer because the school board is sitting there, and maybe not necessarily in Northern California, but throughout the state. They sit there and suffer because people don't pay attention to their own school boards in their area. Whether or not you have kids in school, I think it's time we start noticing all the races, every race.
And here's the rigid edge between a school board and the educators.
Yeah.
The school board is a local community business person, maybe, a parent. They don't know teaching curriculum. They don't know what's best for the kids, and they don't really like to listen to the teachers very much, the educators, that really should know what the kids should be taught.
In some instances, or are you saying, I mean, we're always told that, or we hear that, and I don't understand, I'm not saying it's true or not, but we're always told that, that teachers sometimes, maybe not in our area, like you said, but in others. I mean, I'm from Evergreen Union School District, the best school district in the world. That sometimes educators, teachers, right, they get their own ideas about what kids should learn, and that's what they take into the classroom. Is that true or not?
In some cases, it is.
Okay.
In every job, it's
so the school
way.
Board is supposed to provide that oversight, correct?
School board administrators, but, you know, someone that is aware of education, you know, not, I mean, they didn't go to school as an educator. You know, they might be a local attorney. They might be just a parent out of the blue from that district.
There's where the problem is, because people were back in Virginia. This is one of the reasons that the governor that they have now was elected, was the school boards, if you remember, were saying the FBI or Department of Justice was starting to designate parents who were upset about what was being taught in school.
I remember they were
calling them terrorists.
They were targeting them. Right.
They were calling them terrorists. And the thing is parents, you know, parents and the community need to have a say in what's being taught.
Well, I agree with that.
As long as you don't get, you know, weirdo reactionary.
Perry is correct in the fact that sometimes these school board members may not understand curriculum and what kids need to learn. On the other hand, when you hire for instance, a CEO to run GM, he doesn't need to know how to build a car. He just needs to know how to lead.
Have the right people that know how to build
a car.
That's
right. That's exactly right. So we need to, you know, we need to understand that number one, leadership does not know party or gender. I've always said that, right? Yeah. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, you can be a good leader in a community because you make good decisions for the community.
Yes, absolutely.
Unfortunately, because, you know, I'm a retired command sergeant major and you're a retired colonel, you see right through agenda, and it's upsetting to us. But the second thing is, yes, they need to have the right people on that board that understand curriculum, right? Yeah. And some things in our community, I think, have gone contrary to good order in the community. in the schools for sure, right?
And the part of the board is, you know, funds, business, running the school like a business, right? That's part of it.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, they
can all
budget.
Do that. We've all run businesses. Yeah. That's
sure.
no problem.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't want to put myself out as suggesting a curriculum for teaching.
No.
Because I have no experience at that.
But you know what is a bad, what is not a good curriculum.
That not necessarily true. I mean, there's probably, sure, if it's obvious.
Right.
There's some that's pretty obvious nowadays.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
And that's the thing I think that got to people was, you know, being taught, different, you know, kids in first and second grade being taught that just because, you were born a boy doesn't mean you're a boy. And,
well,
and this upsets a lot of people.
Or this. Let's bring it a little bit closer to home, right? I have a incredible feeling, for Indigenous peoples, right? And if you were to introduce a curriculum that tried to make my kids feel bad about that, then I would fight against that. On the other hand, if you try to provide a curriculum that makes my kids understand and never want that to happen again in their lives and we'll fight against that, that's a different curriculum.
That's a different curriculum.
So it's two separate curriculums, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
One is not to make you feel guilty.
Or saddle them with weight.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, make them a hero. Make them a champion for that. Right?
You know, here's
make them
my
a champion
deal.
To make sure we don't do
sure
that again.
To make sure we never do
yes,
that again.
Absolutely.
My favorite and what I feel is probably one of the most important subjects ever is math. And that's what I like to promote. Everything in the world survives on math.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And so many people can't do math just in the top of their head.
No.
Speaking of math,
can you hit me with that bourbon again? The Harbinger. I'd take some of the Harbinger, please.
Okay. One more.
They're both
for you.
Good. Just one
more. One
more
for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Leave your gun with Liam.
Yeah.
The real stuff.
Thank you, sir. That's good. Half
now,
of one's good.
Let's talk real quickly about the, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act was supposed to save us billions. Right? Okay. Now, I'm not going to get into that. But
okay.
What
are you doing here?
Brian from Alaska is calling.
From Brian Kinsey, my brother.
From Alaska is calling. Brian, good evening. Welcome to Man Up.
My brother, how the heck are you?
I am doing outstanding. I'm just sitting up here in the cabin, just got off the river. And
how many fish today, brother?
How many fish today did you catch today?
Well, it's only a two-person limit on silvers up here, so we got eight out of our camp, so we limited out and got off the river early, and now we're just over here with Celeste working on our little cabin up on the Kenai. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys, awesome show. I was able to actually listen to it today, and just wanted to tell you all the way up in here in Alaska, appreciate what you
I want to thank you for calling community. In. For those of you who don't know, Kinsey's Guide Service, Brian, Big Bri, Little Bri, Nathaniel Kinsey, probably some of those prolific hunters and fishermen in the area. And, by the way, ethical, and they have a legacy in our community.
30 fish days fly fishing.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And, you know,
no,
hey,
no kidding.
I didn't call to get bragged on. I just
hey, I love you. I haven't had to.
I love you guys.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to brag on you in a while, man, and I miss you.
Yeah, so you be careful.
You too.
We'll
see you, and I know you got to get off, but I want to tell you it was an awesome show today.
Well, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
And I'll see you when we get back.
Be safe
up there.
All right, man.
Okay, we got like a minute and a half now to say.
Hey, I love you guys.
Was that what we're going to talk about for a minute and a half?
Man love.
I noticed your facial hair. I like it coming in. It's good.
Again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can never tell.
I might have to cover it up when we hunt in the morning.
It's just so blonde.
Yeah.
Is that the word for it? Blonde? Yeah, Arctic blonde.
I call it white, but.
Yeah, well, the term is Arctic blonde. I have Arctic blonde hair.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
And yours is, you're getting there, buddy.
Oh, I know.
Hey,
I'm on my way.
Got any news?
Yeah, I got news. My classroom is open. I've been teaching classes there on Rhyolite.
You got a new classroom.
Got a brand new classroom. NFI's got a learning center. We just haven't named it yet. Thought about calling it the Founders Club.
Ew.
A lot of kind of pictures of
And Perry, it's hunting season starting.
One bull down, two to go.
Yeah.
Already?
Oh, yeah. We got a nice
up
bull.
There,
No, we got one over on the coast at Roosevelt. One of three. We're shooting a Roosevelt, a Thule, and a Rocky. So September 5th,
we hunt our Thule over out of Willits, and then from there we'll bust right over here to Millville, and by then we hope our target animals.
Somebody told
on the
me
ranch.
That they're thinking that they're seeing more elk. Is the herd getting bigger?
This year the calf crop was awesome. I saw a lot of cows with twins, and they've survived so far, knock on wood. It's just cool as heck watching them all run around out there in the field and play. Haven't seen the big bulls yet, but they should be here any day.
Yeah, so, we've been watching them just about every day.
Well, I've got a friend that hunts all the time, and he says, we've seen elk out there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, where they hunt. And it's, you know, not in Millville, but it's kind of like, and I'll tell you where it is after the show, but he says
up in the forest, yeah.
In the woods.
He says there's, so here we are with elk.
Oh yeah,
right here. 30 minutes from where we're standing right
easily.
Now, you can get a world class elk.
No kidding,
world class.
Okay,
no.
How do people get a hold of Just for Hunting?
Email me at hunter@justforhunting.com or 530-515-5682.
And Northern Fire.